The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Fastamaya, good afternoon. Beth in for Andy again for the rest of the week. Howard is here too to take your calls. So for the next hour, it is over to you. Whatever's on your mind, 66 13 68 is the number to call. It'd be great to have a chat on air, or you can text your message to 166 177. Find us on WhatsApp if you add us as a contact there, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Lots of things going on today. We've been hearing from the leader of the Isle of Man Green Party, who says the island now needs to do its bit to limit climate change. Work's been done to improve accessibility around Douglas. We'll hear about that in a moment. And obviously, a lot of drama in Peel yesterday. That or anything else, you would be more than welcome to get in touch and have a chat this afternoon. Following on, though, from last week when we were talking about the need for a little bit more positivity, just wanted to start with this message that was left on the Man in Line answer phone.
This is Mrs. Blair. I just want a big thank you putting out for a lady called Anna, we think. She let my husband have her taxi from the hospital on Friday afternoon. Instead of him waiting for his taxi, she let her have her taxi. So I would like a thank you, please. Thank you. Bye.
How lovely is that? So if you are Anna and you were around Nobles Hospital last week and you let somebody else have your taxi, then there's a big thanks coming to you, and great to Mrs. Barker for getting in touch with us. Let's go straight to the lines and we can join Victoria on line one. Good afternoon, Victoria. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Beth. Are you all right?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. And hello, everyone that's listening. It's just a very quick one. You know, when Dr. Hubbard from Kroger Gas came on, he said that it would be a trap.
Oh, sorry, we missed that, Victoria. Just go over. So Dr. Hubbard was on. That was a couple of weeks ago with Andy. Missed the start.
Yeah, he, from Kroger.
Yes.
And he was telling us about that, and he said a lot of things about, you know, green energy. And he said that the gas was a transition fuel. So that's like working your way, isn't it, towards non-fossil, I assume. Well, I just wondered the head of the Green Party, Andrew...
Langan Newton,
isn't it? I can't remember if he's for or against the gas. I thought maybe now more things have come out, he might have a different view on it either way. So it's just if anybody knows or if he wants to come on.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. I'm sure if Andrew's listening, he'd be more than welcome to phone
all
in.
Right.
He's great to speak to us. We spoke to him on breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
That was Victoria there. Now, a message from Sally, who says the rain is torrential today. Howard, have you been out and about? Have you seen how awful it is out there? Sally says, the roads are flowing like rivers. She was waiting to cross the road while walking the dogs by the Ramsey hairpin this morning and was drenched in a tidal wave of filthy water by several inconsiderate drivers powering their way up to the mountain. Having seen the first car drench me, you would have thought, says Sally, the following cars might have slowed down and avoided doing the same, but no, they didn't. They were either not paying attention or didn't care. They need to learn to pay attention to road conditions and show respect for pedestrians.
There's no answer to that, is there? I think it's a case of whenever we get this heavy rain, more usually at the back end of the year when a lot of leaves are blocking all the drains and the gutters and such like. And I know the DI guys have seen them, certainly around my part of the island. They have been out doing a lot of gully emptying and cleaning and taking the drains out. But I think if you get, as we know, I was driving in today thinking rain, followed by more rain, then rain, a little brief, and then a bit more rain. And you're thinking, we just overload the drain sometimes, don't we?
But there is a thing, though, isn't it? If you see a pedestrian walking and you can see a puddle by the side of the road, either slow down or try and avoid it.
It is just consideration from a driver's point of view. I expect, as your correspondent mentioned there, I'm sure in some cases, maybe people just don't see people by the side of the road. They're concentrating on the road, or they're focusing on something ahead, or a lorry just ahead. And other people dare say, the usual thing in the morning, you know what it's like. Everyone's in a rush, and it's a case of, oh, look at the time. The traffic's so slow, and they just whiz through wherever they can.
You wouldn't do that, though, would you?
Definitely not.
No. Mikey Two Pints has been in touch regarding the climate change article, and he says, how stupid are our government? The island produces very little pollution, hence our clear skies. We have very little heavy industry, and now we are committed to spending huge amounts of money to meet unrealistic targets, and now the rest of the world can take action if we fail. It is crazy, says Two Pints Mikey there. Franz says, Manx Care, what a waste of time and money, just another layer of overpaid management, non-jobs for the boys and girls. You'd have to ask what happened to the previous staff from health, where they've been deployed after being deemed unfit for purpose, or have they remained quietly in post? And there is another message here about Manx Care and trying to get GP appointments. Now, this is something that was mentioned on breakfast this morning, because there was a Liberal Vanham meeting that our political correspondent Phil Gorm went along to last night. We'll hear a little bit about that in a moment if we have time. But Marie says, I tried to get an appointment with our GP and they have closed the appointment book until the end of the week. Unbelievable. When you are ill or in pain, you should not be refused help. Marie says, it is Manx. Do not care. G says, as the Isle of Man is now contributing towards achieving UK climate targets, the UK should be contributing towards our climate costs. And we've had a message from Pammy talking about Rob Callister again. Now, we heard Rob on Agenda with Phil Gorn last night, and this was speaking after last week's Tynwald sitting, when Rob Callister formally apologised to the court. But Pammy doesn't understand how Rob Callister says he's the victim from the independent investigation and the apology he gave to Tynwald. I'm not confident he's telling his constituents the whole truth. Pammy wants to know why anyone would apologise for serious accusations when they are innocent. There are several members of Tynwald traumatised by the bullying that's taking place. I will be thinking very carefully in the future who gets my vote, says Pammy. So lots to think about there. But I mentioned that meeting that took place last night. This was organised by Lib Van, and GP appointments, the mental health service and respite care were just some of the topics raised there, discussing issues really within the Isle of Man's health service. Senior figures from Manx Care, the health minister and charities were among those taking part, and it was an event, as I say, organised by Liberal Vanin, and Phil Gorn was there.
Integrating health and social care services has long been an ambition of Isle of Man government. So are we any closer to achieving this? That's what last night's public meeting organised by the Liberal Vanin Party was trying to answer. There were many contributors from the audience with significant concerns raised about access to GP services, inadequate mental health services, lack of joined-up thinking with regard to respite care and social housing. Manx Care Chief Theresa Cope acknowledged that more needed to be done in several areas, and in a remarkably frank admission, Ms. Cope said that in her 30 years' service in health, she has never been so deeply and extensively scrutinised as she has in this role. She went on to say that the level of negativity and abuse she has witnessed against Manx Care is much worse than she has ever experienced in her previous roles in the UK NHS. Minister Hooper acknowledged that government cannot continue to use reserves to prop up spending on health and social care, and Liberal Vanin believes that we need to look again at the tax structure on the island. Theresa Cope raised the perverse situation where people are funded by government to go into a care home but don't get the necessary support to stay in their own homes. It is hoped that this inequity will be addressed in the coming years, as the current system is unsustainable. I spoke to CEO of Age Concern, Maureen Cowburn, about some of her members' concerns.
Yeah, some of the frustrations that we're hearing about is that they are not offered a face-to-face appointment, and that they have to have a phone consultation, and they're worried because their hearing is not brilliant, that they can't understand really what is being said, and they're having to diagnose themselves. I think the doctors are great and they enjoy talking to them, but I don't think they get the probably the input that might need.
So what did Health Minister and Liberal Vanin member Laurie Hooper make of the evening?
I think there's still some misunderstandings around the Manx Care setup. I think that's quite clear. It's also evident that we need to be better at communicating. We had some really good feedback around the way we engage in the community and actually some of the locations we should be using. Had a very positive conversation with Age Concern about utilising perhaps some of their resources to reach out to people to provide help support our engagement work around some of their service users as well. So quite a lot of really positive stuff to take away, along with a lot of questions, a lot of things which we need to deal with and answer ourselves as to where we're up to with strategies or pieces of work, and also really some work to take away in terms of how we communicate some of that to the public as well.
That's Laurie Hooper, the Health Minister, there speaking about the meeting last night. Let's go back to the lines and join Peter on line one. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon. I wonder whether like, you could ask our Education Minister or maybe the headmasters of our more head schools, you know, the like Ballacameen and St Ninian's and Ramsey Grammar, whether or not it is true that some of the pupils are identifying as Furbies, and whether or not it's true that a stall was fitted in as a cat litter tray for a female person at one of the high schools because she identifies as a cat.
Okay, so this is not just an Isle of Man issue, I would say, Peter, but I would just say that we have approached the Department of Education and asked about this issue. It has been raised to us.
I know it's not just an Isle of Man thing, but we live on the Isle of Man, and I would like to know, and I think a lot of other parents would like to know what is actually happening in our high schools and what's getting taught.
Okay, Peter.
So if you could find out, please, and let us know.
We certainly will. As I say, we have asked the Department of Education, so we will come back to you as soon as we get a response on that one.
Okay.
All right, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. That was Peter. Let's go to Wilf now. Good afternoon, Wilf.
Hi. It's just a short one. It's just about, I've been keeping an eye on the overtopping, as they call it, around the harbour in Ramsey over the weekend.
Oh, yes.
And they've been putting bags out everywhere, all around the town. It's going away now, the bags away. And the tides are dropping back. But the highest they got, we got a couple of inches in places over the quay. Now, I've been campaigning for years and years that a 2-foot wall will do the job and people can still see the harbour, step over it, sit on it all around the harbour. But our government is hell-bent on putting a wall around 1.4 metres high to stop the water coming over. And as I said, some of the biggest tides of the year was over the weekend, and we got 2 inches in places. I have never seen it higher than about a foot high all my life.
What would you say, Wilf?
We're going to ruin our harbour side.
I suppose some people might say it's future-proofing, maybe?
Yeah, future-proofing. They said that. They said it happens once in every 120 years that it comes that high. Well, according to that, my middle name must be Methuselah then, because I've seen it dozens of times in my lifetime, and I've never seen it more than, eight or nine inches. The electric blocks all around the harbour that the government put in and the experts put in and the ones for swinging the swing bridge are 20 inches high. And do you think that they've gone, those people were stupid doing that, that they put it in at the right height that they thought for overtopping? But our latest thing is we've got to have it 1.4 metres high. Now, anybody going down in a, kids in a go chair, whatever it is, people in the invalid chair, whatever, electric chair, they can't see the harbour anymore. If you're driving past the car, you won't see the harbour. I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life.
It's a difficult one.
If you put a 2-foot wall there, you can step over it or sit on it. And if it did just top it over, put another block on. And that's it, job done. Or some sort of little thing you can put on top of the wall that you could drop in for a few extra inches. Each year, if it got higher. But all my life, it's never got any higher. Actually, I live on the quay, and I have done for many years. And a fellow asked me, who's now, he's dead and gone now, an old friend of mine. He said, did it get in your place? I said, no, it just reached the top. And he said, and it was the last, this was back in a number of years ago when we had the huge big ones come in the street. He said, well, it's not the biggest then. Because he said, I've been in your place sweeping the water out. And that was 2 foot deep, right at the end of the quay. So it just will not make it. It'll never make it. This global warming is, well, I don't know what to make of that.
It's a difficult one, isn't it, Wilf? Yeah. Because I think if you were in a position where you had had the water coming into your property, you'd obviously naturally have a very different point of view. And I think, is this one of those occasions where people who are making these decisions are damned if they do and damned if they don't?
Yes, but they've also made another thing, of course, which is just amused me at the time. I said, well, it's going to come up the grids. Oh, yes. We're putting one-way grids in. The tide can't come up, but the rain can go down. I said, well, they won't be any use, will they? Well, why is that? Because I said, nobody comes and cleans the ordinary grids that we've got now. They're stopped up all over the Isle of Man. Nobody cleans them up now, so what's going to happen? The normal thing, when they come down, they put a half-ton bag of sand or gravel sitting on top of the grid. Job done. That's all they do. Walk around, drop that on it, and nothing goes up the grids anymore. It's just totally ridiculous. Way, way over the top. And it's going to ruin Ramsey.
All right, Wilf. Thank you very much indeed, as ever, for getting in touch. Lovely to talk to you.
Well, I hope somebody will come back on and back me up or whatever, you know.
All right, Wilf. Well, we welcome any opinions, as ever, on this programme. 66 13 68 is the number to call. You can also text 166 177 or email us studio@manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy. The Nation Station,
Manx Radio. It is 12:26. This is A Man in Line on Manx Radio. So lovely to have your company this lunchtime. We can go to the lines now and join Mary on line one. Good afternoon, Mary.
Hello, Beth. This is a follow-on to the lady that was on a little while ago saying about older people staying in their homes, etc. Well, I'd just like to say that one area of Manx care is absolutely brilliant, and that's the occupational therapy department. I was recently put in touch with them, and they have been round and they've put rails for me either side of my doors, and they've checked the rest of the house to see if there's anything else that they can do that will help me to stay in my home, not fall. They were absolutely marvellous.
That's lovely to hear, Mary. And again, I wonder if this is another example of the fact that people talk about Manx care as a whole and sometimes forgetting these little bits of brilliance that are happening every day.
Yes, and they really were. They couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been kinder. They were very quick. And the day after the railings and things were fitted, the lady in charge rang me the next day to check that I was happy with them and that everything was fine. Absolutely marvellous. They really were superb.
That's wonderful, Mary. And as you say, so important to have this facility so people can stay in their own homes for as long as possible.
Yes, absolutely. That's their whole sort of raison d'etre to be there. You know, that's what they're trying to do, and they certainly are doing it.
Wonderful. Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to phone us and let us know that.
You're welcome.
Take care. That was Mary there, and lovely comments about the occupational health staff there, which have supported Mary by looking after some of the things she needs at home. Howard, some other thoughts this afternoon?
Yes, plenty coming on various topics. Nick the Skip says, did the previous caller say Furbies? I think he did, yeah.
No, he said Furries, I think.
Well,
I
furries,
think
not Furbies. Furbies.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said Furbies as well.
I think it maybe it was a slight mix-up of
yeah,
words.
The, yeah, the furry subculture, as I think it's known. Another caller saying, net zero will drive Great Britain into poverty. Meanwhile, other very polluting countries will carry on polluting whilst we suffer just to virtue signal, or signal virtue, is that? Well, yes, but I suppose if no one does anything, then we won't get anywhere at all, I guess, is the theory on that one. We have a Des says, these people who think they can change the climate, can you ask them to stop the rain? Yes, very good indeed. As for the lady who said she got sprayed, the driver behind the first driver probably thought it was funny, so he'd entertain the driver behind. You know what, that probably does go on, I dare say, but we try not to think about it. And one more quickly, and I think we've got another caller coming in, says the DOI should sort out the road. Sometimes Rob says people don't see the puddles.
And the texter ending 713 says drenching a pedestrian when driving is an offence under the Road Traffic Act, classed as driving without due care and attention, and says it's pity the lady didn't get the vehicle's number. Now, I did wonder whether or not it was an offence, but I didn't know if that was one of those things that was urban legend, I'm not sure. When is this government going to realise we can't afford all these increases for road tax, also driving licences, also checking the prices of food we buy? They are putting people on the poverty line but do not seem interested in helping us at all. That is from John and Sean in Douglas. Thank you for that message. There's a message here saying there's been a yurt or a wigwam pitched around the Braid Hall for months now. It's just across the road in a field. Does anyone live in it? Don't know the answer to that, but if you do live in it and you have access to a telephone, then let us know. Bob's been in touch, and this is with regard to what Pammy was saying about Rob Cullister a little bit earlier in the programme. Bob says if he didn't apologise, he would have been suspended for government until he did. So what options were open to him if he still wanted to be an MHK? Texter ending 375 says three doctors leaving in Ramsey, so getting appointments there now is like a needle in a haystack. Texter asking if Peter, who called a little bit earlier, has tried asking his kids what they are being taught in schools. Texter ending 900, the sea level is not rising. Climate change is a hoax. John says, I think the NHS should not keep thinking they're a special case. They've been offered a 6% pay increase. That's more than anyone else is getting, and it's not like they are doing a good job, says John. You only have to look at the waiting list. If the staff of the NHS stopped taking so many sickies, perhaps patients would get the service they deserve and pay taxes for. It sounds like there's a personal issue going on there, John, or something specific that you're talking about, but we did hear that the Royal College of Nursing have rejected the latest pay offer, 4% and a £300 initial bundle of money. So all the details on that at manxradio.com. Let's go to the lines and join Howard now. Good afternoon, Howard.
Afternoon, Beth. I'm just looking here on one of the other internet news, the local ones. I don't know whether a lot of people will be aware of it, but the Isle of Man Post Office will change collection times for post boxes island-wide from today.
It was from yesterday, actually, I think, Howard. And this is because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more than a 40% decrease in mail volumes collected in post boxes since 2017 when they last did that review, I think.
Yeah, but this is not helping matters because they're collecting at 10 o'clock in the morning on the majority of them. So if you don't post your letter or mail, shall I say, before then, for it to be collected, it's not going to get collected until 10 o'clock the next day. At the moment, the majority of post boxes are 5 o'clock collections. And they're saying this is to guarantee the next day delivery on the island or off-island dispatch for the same day. But as far as I'm aware, unless they're going to change the flight times of the mail plane in the evenings, which used to always be around about 8 o'clock, what is the thinking behind this for 10 o'clock in the morning? It does say frequently used post boxes across the island, including those located outside post offices, will continue to have their usual second collection at 5 o'clock. So, in the first paragraph, it says they will, the majority of them will be 10 o'clock, and then lower down in the news thing, it says
frequently used. Well, how can you decide that unless they've got the notices on the doors of the post boxes?
Well, we have asked a question from Isle of Man Post, and I'm not sure if one of my colleagues might be able to find the answer, if we've received it yet, about which ones are the ones that are going to have more frequent collections. But I guess the reality is, Howard, if people aren't sending as much mail, you can't justify going round to all these rural post boxes and collecting them when there's no need.
Well, it's only a small island, for goodness sake, and, you know, they must know, are they going to take them out of the system altogether, which I believe is the, in my own mind, is what they're working to. They're just going to put a blank over there and say, sorry, but that wasn't used very often. There's nothing quite like discouraging people to achieve an end, is what they're going for, the post office. And they're forgetting, this is not Royal Mail, this is the Isle of Man post office, and it's our own post office. And they proudly boast that they're doing the job. But here they are, rapidly cutting the service down. Many years ago, they cut down the Saturday deliveries. They've changed everything about our deliveries now. Well, they arrive when they arrive, shall we say. Yeah, we used to be able to virtually set our clock. And they keep changing the postman. And this is not going to be conducive to looking after the elderly population, because a lot of people, the old postman used to go around, they'd know the people that were in the house and they know there was something wrong.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's a lot of no harm to the a lot of young people going around delivering, and they don't know the people, like, you know, they give a, it's a sort of service, a background service where people are looked after by,
yeah.
It used to be the milkman, who's gone virtually, and the postman, they're wiping that out. So it's going to be an area where there's going to be a lot of people missing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Howard. I mean, it's a lovely add-on, that community feel, the fact that people going round know who people are. I mean, you mentioned the Saturday deliveries. They were cut back a little while ago. Fair to say we've probably survived okay by not getting mail necessarily on a Saturday. When was the last time you posted a letter?
Oh, I post them quite often. I've got one to go down shortly.
Better make sure you get it in on time.
Well, I'll have to go to the post office to post it. Because the collection, well, it'll have gone now, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guarantee that the post box I'll be going to will be frequently used. So it could lie there overnight, and then next day, 10 o'clock, and then it still won't go out until the day after.
All right, Howard, thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you as ever. Thanks so much.
Okay,
all right, take care. That's Howard talking about the changes to post collections, which came into force yesterday. Back to the lines, and we can join Vernon now. Good afternoon, Vernon.
Good afternoon. I'd just like to say there was a lady on about the doctors in Ramsey.
Yes.
I believe there was three meant to be leaving.
Yes.
Well, a doctor has already left, a good doctor from Snaefell Surgery in Douglas, and he's gone to Jersey. There's another ad which has appeared in the Courier this last weekend for a doctor required in Jersey. So what I would like to know is what the MHKs are going to do about keeping the doctors on the island, if they intend to increase the population by 15,000 people.
Good point, Vernon, and certainly one that we can ask a question. I mean, retention has been an issue for many years, hasn't it?
Yes, but this doctor that's actually moved has been here for quite some time.
All right, Vernon. Thank you very much indeed. Good question. We will put that to the powers that be and come back with a response as soon as we can. Just another nice message here. Texter ending 149. I would like to thank Nobles Hospital. I had my first cataract operation in December, my second yesterday. The staff were wonderful and I was back home by 9:30 in the morning. 66 13 68 is the number to call. Still time for you to get on air before 1 p.m.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
It is 12:40. Lovely to have your company this lunchtime, and so many ways for you to get in touch with us today. You can find us on WhatsApp if you just add the number 07624 166 177 to your contacts. You can just wing us a message on WhatsApp, which is what lots of people have done. Nick sent a picture of a Furby, and I think we've just clarified. I think Peter was referring to furries a little bit earlier. And, you know, this is one of those issues where there is very likely much more to it than initially meets the eye. So it's really important to handle it as sensitively as possible. But it is something that we are asking about. Rosemary's been in touch with regards to what Wilf was saying about the floods in Ramsey, or lack of them to a certain height, Wilf was saying a little bit earlier. But Rosemary says, has Wilf forgotten when Parliament Street flooded with the high tide in recent years, and with icebergs melting, sea levels will rise? And have they globally predicted tide heights will increase in the UK, says Texter 085, by 3 feet by 2027. Increasing tidal walls is a priority in harbours. Let's go back to the lines and join Peter on line one. Good afternoon, Peter.
Oh, hello, Beth. It's Peter Murcott here. I always give my full name, you know, because we live in a very anonymous society. And I've never liked being anonymised, if you know what I mean. So there we are. You interviewed me some years ago.
I remember. Yes, I do.
You do remember. You know, I go for non-controversial issues, which was one I think you interviewed me on. But this is about Manx Gas.
Okay.
Now, they come in for a number of complaints, but I want to just speak on the opposite side of a success story. I've just had a new boiler. We actually had a survey for it about a year ago, so they'd got that on hand, and I decided to go for it. I got a response same day, you know. That, you can't do quicker than that. From when I went down, I got an answer put through the door of what the assessment was. And within a very short while, got a telephone call about would it be all right if they could put it in last Friday. Yes, they could. That was all within about less, probably about a fortnight of the original approach. And everything went absolutely A1, and I cannot commend the service highly enough. They personally had us, the subcontractor was excellent. And I just think that people work better if folk are as ready to express appreciation where something goes well as they are usually quite ready to express their annoyance when things do not.
Do you think so? Absolutely right, Peter. And that's what's been really lovely, actually, over the past few days, people sending in messages, because it is easy to overlook the good things that happen, because it feels sometimes that the negatives affect us a little bit more deeply, I guess.
I used to be, long, long time ago, before I became law lecturer, I was head of a primary school. And I always used to work on the basis in, for example, in keeping good control of the children, that they worked far better and you did it far more effectively if you praised and if you provided things for them rather than prohibit. And we had to, over the years, it was very rare that we had to reprimand a child. And even then, the punishments were very minor. Indeed, most of the thing was done on encouragement. Let them see that it was to their advantage and everybody's advantage to, you know, for everyone to work well together. And it was, I have many happy memories of it. And I think the same thing applies with regard to a workforce. If I was in charge of a workforce, I would be making sure that the workforce's contribution was always recognised. I used to do that when I was head with my ancillary staff. I used to go and talk to them every day, make sure that they felt that they were appreciated, valued, and their contribution was regarded as being very gratefully received. I don't go with the cynic who sometimes says, well, they're being paid for it, aren't they? I think that's I think that's an awful attitude, personally.
Well, Peter, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for phoning in with your positive story about Manx Gas. That is Peter Murcott there. Matt in Port Erin has sent a message, and this is on WhatsApp, just about the furries. And Matt says, a colleague of mine was talking to a parent of a furry who confirmed that their child suffered from learning difficulties. This detail, says Matt, is almost always missed out, and I do think it's important. Totally agree there, Matt. I would say that's why it's a subject that does need to be handled as carefully as possible. Back to the lines, and let's join Nigel now. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Good. Well, I normally come on about hospitality and I do have my whinge and all that kind of thing, but I just want to, and I want people to listen to what I've got to say now, is that I've just had a procedure done in one of the hospitals in Liverpool. And I'm not going to mention any names because I was there for a week, and I would say that the service that I had there would be probably the majority of big hospitals that use domestic wards for multiple patients, probably exactly the same. Because I went across for a day procedure, unfortunately, I got pancreatitis and I had to stay in for a week. Now, the back end of that was, came out of theatre, into a recovery room, should have been five beds, there was 12 of us. Basically, we were climbing over each other to get a drip into us, put onto the ward. The resources that the nurses had to deal with and what they had was absolutely unbelievably, I couldn't believe what they didn't have. And they were making do to do the best they could, because obviously the funding, what they've got in these hospitals, is not very good. I had a guy opposite me that really put the whole thing in perspective, because he quite blatantly was telling me, 56 he was, he looked about 100, crack cocaine, £3,000 a month benefits, living off a food bank, and I'm sat there waiting for bits and pieces to try and help me in a hospital, and that guy's getting subsidised by the government, and they're not giving the nurses in the hospitals exactly what they need to do. The staff are coming in back-to-back shifts, and literally back-to-back shifts, to keep us patients going, looked after to the best of their ability. I ended up cleaning the toilets because, unfortunately, this particular guy, the cleaner came in, she went because there wasn't enough staff, and I ended up helping them out because I needed to go to the loo and they were in such a bad state. And I think we need to realise on the Isle of Man how lucky we are and what we've got, because the resources they've got in the UK, and this is no disrespect to the nurses at all, is appalling. And the what they had to deal with within themselves to look after, they were back-to-back shifts. I could have written a book in that week I was in there. It was unbelievably opened my eyes to think, you know, we listen to people on our radio station whinging about nobles, and by God, be grateful for what we've got here, because and hopefully they eventually will get it sorted out in the UK. But I think people need to sit back and think, we're in a, you know, we have got a good team here, and they do their best. I'm not saying that Nobles Hospital is perfect, far from it. We all know that. We all know they've got problems and they've got staffing issues. But compared to the UK, be grateful, everybody, for what we've got here, because it was unbelievable.
Blimey, Nigel, it sounds like you've been through the mill. Are you well on the way, road to recovery now?
Yes, I am. But it was, I've only had my tonsils out when I was a kid. And I've never been, and don't get me wrong, I've been into Nobles Hospital on a number of occasions over the 30-odd years here. I've never been into a big hospital in the UK. And I'm sure there's specific hospitals that are clinically safe and everything. And I'm, but they're doing their best. This was just general lack of funding, lack of maintenance. There was one girl, one member of staff, that came in and put the notes onto a patient next to me saying to the sister, I've got to go because of the train strike, and if I don't get the train today, I won't be back tomorrow. And the guy left for 40 minutes. And the nurse said, oh, somebody will be with you in a bit. It was 40 minutes later. So it's not just the whole, it's across the board. But we don't have that problem here. So that's what I'm saying. I think people just need to step back a bit, slow down and think, OK, we've got problems here, but nowhere near compared to what they've got in the UK.
Nigel, really appreciate you taking the time to call us this afternoon, and a really interesting picture that you've painted for us. And may you get very much better very soon.
Well, I'll be back having a whinge about hospitality and something else down the line. But I think that needed to be said, because it only happened last week. And I've still got the scars from the experience, because it was an unbelievable experience. But please, everybody, give them a bit of, you know, we can all have a whinge and we can have a moan. And even the nurses, to be honest, I think the nurses and doctors over here have got to be grateful. They're all going for pay rises and that. They don't do nowhere near to what the staff are doing across the UK. They were coming back in the middle of the night back on shifts. It was unbelievable. And they were all pulling together. But let's all be grateful for what we got.
Nigel, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to line one and we can join Steve. Good afternoon, Steve.
Afternoon, how are you doing? All right?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm doing well. This is getting a regular feature now, isn't it?
Always welcome. This is your it's your favourite time as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. And well, what it is that gentleman just been on there about the health service. I agree with what he said. But the thing is, I appreciate, and a lot of people do appreciate, our health service over here. The guys and the girls that do the job, brilliant. Some amazing consultants over here, and I've never had a problem with the hospital. It's been great. You go in and you're looked after, and the staff on the ground, fantastic. What lets it down is the government. They don't put enough money into our health service. We could have an absolute fabulous hospital up there. We could have amazing, you know, it could be leagues and bounds better than it is. They don't give the budget to where it needs to go. And what rattles me and other people is, and I'll go on about it, when they pull the £70 million out, that I said, on the steam packet, £70 million. What would that do within a health service? If you put £70 million into our health service here on the island, what would that do for our health service? They don't get the money and the funds in it to work with. And then they want to increase the population to put a bigger drain on the health service. Why put a bigger drain on what already is straining? You know, it's already stretched. It's already struggling. And then they want to increase the population and give it a big more strain. Are you with me?
I think
it doesn't make sense.
Maybe it could be argued, Steve, if you're going to play devil's advocate, that some of these people that they're hoping will come over to the Isle of Man to increase the population, these might be our future doctors and healthcare workers. So perhaps, you know, that has the benefit there, maybe.
Yeah, good on you there. But good argument. I love this. But the thing is, you'd have to have a hell of a lot of doctors and nurses out of that 15,000 to make an impact over here. Are you with me? You need a hell of a lot to make an impact. The people we're getting over here, you know, it's a case of, you know, you're not going to be the doctors and the nurses that we need and consultants, because why would you want to come here? You know, what's attempting? What are you going to do? How are you going to tempt them to come over?
I think listening to what Nigel was just saying, though, I think that might tempt a lot of people over here, wouldn't it? That picture that he's painted of just how difficult things are in just one hospital in the UK. And then you look at what we have to offer, and sometimes maybe we forget how amazing the Isle of Man is.
It's a nice place to live. You've got a lot of nice places, scenery and things. But honestly, I mean, to the working conditions, got to put a nice package together to tempt a consultant that could go anywhere around the world to come to the Isle of Man. You know, that's one thing. We need more money invested into our health service to help the guys and the girls on the ground to do the good job they do.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank
as ever,
you.
Lovely all to talk there. To you. Speak to you again
thank
soon.
You. Bye.
That is Steve there talking about the NHS. Loads of amazing comments coming in. And as ever, if we don't get time to read all of them out on air, we do read every single one of them, can carry some of them over to tomorrow. And if there's any answers that we need to get on things, then we get those as well. Dick's been in touch to say, I was surprised to hear in Keys this morning the DOI minister say they have no responsibility for the landslide in Laxey, as it's down to the property owners and their insurance. But Dick says, as Garth commissioners and clerks gave their permission for it, then why aren't they taking some responsibility for the permission that they and planning gave? He believes the minister and DOI must be partly responsible and not just pass the buck to the property owners and insurers, as happened today. Andrew says, went to see Gandhi's Circus on Friday. They announced a few times thanking the Isle of Man government and the steam packet for their support in bringing the circus over to the island. And Andrew says, I just want to thank both of them as well, as presumably without some sort of funding support from both of those organisations, then the circus would not have been able to come. It was a great great thing to give the Manx public something different to do for a few hours, and it was a great watch as well. And lots of other texts here. Somebody else agreeing with Nigel, talking about positive experience at the hospital. It's really lovely to get some of those positive stories, because I think it is fair to say, as Peter Murcott was saying, very often we do focus on the negative. It seems easier to moan about something that's gone wrong rather than just have something pleasant to say about something, even a very small thing, which might have gone right. So it's lovely to hear those positive stories as well, and we very much welcome them on this programme. But as ever, that is all we have time for. If you think of anything while we're not on air, 682 631 is the answer phone message. You can leave a message on there, we can play it out for you, or you can just ask a question, we'll see if we can find out the answer. Thank you very much to Howard Kane for producing today's programme and taking your calls. Coming up next, Christy D with 1 to 3. So whatever you're doing this afternoon, have a great one, and I'll be back at midday tomorrow.
Tonight at 6 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I catch up with Ruth Mead from Red My Farm and Pet Poultry.
I went along to see some of the boats on display from the Manx Model Boat Club. And also, I went along to the Ramsey Horticultural Society's Spring Show.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.